The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Statmiller, with you on this 23rd day of August 2021. Steve Elkins down in Florida. And let's continue with the phone calls here. Don't want to leave anybody holding. Henry in Connecticut. Hello, Henry.
Yeah, hi, John. Did you just say that before the top of the hour that the Newsmax is funded by the Clinton Foundation?
$400 million. They received a grant from the Clinton Foundation for $400 million. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's the end of them.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, use your own judgment. You know, this has been the problem. It's been a problem with a lot of people. They'll take the advice of somebody. And I'm not saying I have never, ever, once in my life, intentionally steered somebody in the wrong direction. But it's based on your overall knowledge of what's really going on for you to be the ultimate discerner here. You've got to be the one out there that understands what the situation is and where your sources are. And we tell people the same thing about this network. Okay? I don't want people coming to this network and saying, okay, well, it's the absolute gospel and the absolute truth. Everything that they say is absolutely true. Because from time to time, we do make mistakes, okay? What I'm saying to people, the stronger the audience is, the stronger the programming is.
Yeah.
So, at any rate.
Well, anyway, I think you might have mentioned this. I just sort of came in about 15 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. But Jesse the Jackass Jackson had the vaccine about, I don't know if they said 3 months ago, something like that. Mm-hmm. Well, now he has COVID.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
We have before. He didn't have COVID.
Yeah, and how are they testing for this? When we found out the test that they were using, Steve, for the COVID-19 pandemic?
I think anything greater than 28 cycles, and most of your labs were testing at 40 cycles or higher,
yeah,
which would give you a 95% false positive.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, and they're once again back to calling these cases where they're really not cases at all. It's a misdiagnosis.
Right. Yeah, I know. A lot of cases. But, you know, that thing with the vaccine, I'm hearing that stuff you played earlier. And see, that's why I didn't want to take that. Because I advise people not to take it anyway. Because, give an example, I'm about your height, you know, John, and I'm like, I'm like about your height. I got like normal blood pressure. My blood pressure is normal. My blood sugar score is normal, etc. I'm like younger than you. Like, you know, I sound like around your age, but my blood pressure and all that stuff is as good as yours. I'm like normal. And now, if I took that vaccine, that causes blood clots, and that could cause somebody to have a stroke or suppress the blood or oxygen, you know, with their lungs. And,
right.
and there was a person who did get it, and they're on some kind of breathing thing because of that.
Right.
With their breathing. So,
and what
the teenagers have strokes. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Henry, what I was going to say was the issue, and Steve, we saw the photos from down in Florida where they were, these respiratory machines, once they discovered this is not a good thing to do, they were down there destroying brand new in the box, $800, $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 into landfills.
What a scam.
This is what caught up to Cuomo when they were shoving old people into nursing homes and putting them on these damn machines. They were actually accelerating and killing these people even faster rather than going with the ivermectin or the hydroxychloroquine without going to other means in which to take care of comorbidities, you know, the pneumonias and the onset stuff that happens.
But you see, John, they wanted those death numbers. They needed those death numbers. They were very, very valuable. They need the death numbers to get the fear kicked off, because the bottom line is they were going to roll it out, the vaccine, sooner or later, or the shot, and they had to have deaths and use fear.
Steve, let me ask you, from Cuomo's position, isn't it better to get bounced out of office because, well, you're accused by 8 or 9 women of, you know, taking liberties or whatever, or Cuomo killing people in nursing homes? They still cover for each other.
That's more serious.
Yeah. No kidding. We're talking maybe unintentional. What do they call unintentional murder? What do they call that, Steve?
Negligent homicide.
There you go. Yeah, or something along.
Negligent manslaughter.
There you go.
Right.
All right. Yeah. Henry, I appreciate
you. One thing is the people, after they had the vaccines, they needed the machines. So.
Oh, well.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well
if you were you were needing a ventilator at that, that's a late stage. Yeah, that's a bad situation to be in, and that was all very done purposeful too. Like I said, they needed those death numbers. They needed them.
You know why?
Well, you listen to a guy named Hal Turner. He covers that whole thing. That stuff, what it does to women.
Henry. Let me clue you in on who did you just mention?
Oh, somebody named some show I came across. Named Hal Turner.
Yeah, I'm familiar with
all the stuff about the vaccine.
Yeah, Henry, I'm going to give you a piece of advice here, and you can follow it or not. This guy was a paid federal informant to have people set up for the FBI. The FBI didn't some of the things that Hal Turner was doing, so they turned on him, as they do on informants when they don't follow their marching orders to the T. I know Hal Turner. I've spoken with Hal Turner. I do.
Oh, okay.
If you trust that guy.
Well, I didn't say I did.
No, you said you're listening to the guy.
Oh, I listened to him when he's talking about the vaccine, but he's reading stuff by other doctors and research.
No. Henry, here's the problem with liars. When do you know they're not lying to you?
Yeah, that's true. You don't know. Look at Bill Clinton.
Henry, I thank you. Henry, I got to go. Yeah. Thank you for your call. Yeah. Fred in Michigan. Hello, Fred. I know. And you know what? Just move on, please.
Oh, man. Okay. Look, you mentioned Stu Peters. And, John, I want to thank you because, what was it, 3-4 weeks ago, you cited Stu Peters' interview with Professor David Martin, PhD, University of Virginia. Mm-hmm. You know, the phony Corona Cavoni Scamzoni patent guy, right? And he did that full elucidation where he tracked. He actually possesses all the patent. I don't know. I'll just call it the patent papers. He's got the data. Going back to 1990, Pfizer granted the first synthetic canine corona viral genetic sequence. And then, remember, whatever it was several months ago, they trotted out some veterinarian who postulated this zoonotic theory that it was people who were eating bats at a wet market. And Judy Mikovits, I'm not saying she's totally clean, but she adamantly declared that
she, by the way, she is a full-blown accredited doctor. Let's not forget that by just calling her Judy Mikovits.
She's PhD. PhD.
Mike, check that out. All right, continue, Fred.
Yeah, and so she said it would take at least 800 years for a cross-species scenario like that to actually manifest. 800 years. Now, for the benefit of the fellow who just called, he can look up Andrew Kaufman, M.D., and Thomas Cowan, C-O-W-A-N, M.D. Those two guys did a stellar presentation regarding Judy Mikovits' declaration that, and correctly so, that there has not been any verified, authentic identification of the so-called pathogen. Nobody's isolated it, cultured, yada, yada. Dr.
And,
Sam
and,
Bailey.
And by the way, Fred, let me just add this. The people worldwide have been doing their own versions, and there are different versions in different countries. Here in the United States, it's called Freedom of Information Act. And what they're discovering is all the data that they didn't want you to see has all been mysteriously misplaced.
Yeah, John, that's entirely accurate, and it's consistent. I challenge myself. Well, let me finish up Mikovits, because she said that she had identified the AIDS pathogen, which I, you know, learned from other sources was another synthetic patented scenario that also, it was a tandem thing. There was a coronavirus, retrovirus. Retroviruses are nothing burgers unless they've been genetically modified, et cetera, you know, weaponized. And in the case of the AIDS pathogen, reportedly, it involved a mycoplasma. According to, this was Garth Nicholson, big time PhD guy, Project Daylily. He wrote a book about this. Well, anyway, Mikovits insisted that she and only she had isolated, identified, cultured the AIDS pathogen. So Cowan, Thomas Cowan, M.D., Andrew Kaufman, M.D., they did their own lecture about that, if you will. And it's on a shoot. And it's astonishing, okay? Absolutely astonishing. But it hasn't happened, and the CDC cannot provide any of the evidentiary proof for any of this. It's just one lie after another. But before I forget, John, you gotta hear this. I came upon this over the weekend, and it's on BitChute. It's some dude from the BBC all dressed up. It's only 2 minutes and 36 seconds. He interviews this Regis professor of medicine at Oxford University Medical School, and the Oxford professor, Sir John Bell, literally declared in response to the BBC interview's query, well, when can we really look forward to, you know, an immensely effective vaccine? And they're all smiley. And then he says, well, you know, we have to bide our time until we can actually ensure that we have at least 60 to 70% sterilization rate with it. He comes right out and says it, okay? 60 to 70%, and that's the title, 60 to 70% sterilization from the vac.
And keep in mind that a lot of people, and even I posted up a story, and I told you before we went on air, Steve, Paul Craig Roberts came out with a headline for his story, Is This About Population Reduction? And what a lot of people don't think about is sterilization, or messing with the genomes of your body so badly that you can no longer reproduce. And that is needs to be factored in as well.
John, you know, a question I've always had, and John Rappaport talks about it, you and I talked about it, Paul Craig Roberts says the virus has not been isolated. I agree. Let's go down the pathway of how a normal vaccine is developed. It normally they take a small sample of the virus, they weaken it. It's called a live attenuated virus. It's weakened virus introduced into the body, which produces an antibody response. If they actually had isolated the coronavirus, COVID-19, if they'd actually isolated the virus, why wouldn't they go down the same pathway as all their other vaccines? Instead, they decided to go messenger RNA because the messenger RNA is the only way to go down to the DNA to modify, to change it for an agenda, which I do believe Paul Craig Roberts is correct.
Yeah.
There is a sterilization program going on. There is a depopulation program going on right now, global.
Fred, I thank you for your call. By the way, Mikovits is a research scientist.
Research doctor.
Yeah, she has a PhD in biochemistry and molecular biology from George Washington University. So
smart lady.
She is. And she's a research scientist. She is not a medical doctor.
Right.
But, you know, what do you discover when you're in the field of researching in biochemistry and molecular biology?
As Tom in Utah would tell you, she's the guy in the basement that comes up with the theories that later on educates others.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there you go.
Smart lady.
All right, Fred, again, thanks for your call. Let me go to Renee in North Carolina. Hello, Renee.
Yes, I'd like to report something here that happened regionally that I can guarantee you will never make the national news. At a hospital down the road in Pineville, North Carolina, mm-hmm. at a hospital there, they had an outbreak of COVID. 60 people tested positive. Of those, 50 were employees. Of the 50, 35 were fully vaccinated.
Yeah.
So these quote free shots they give us that our government is tacking onto our national debt for billions of dollars are not even working. I want a refund. Of course, I didn't get it. Okay, but
right.
In other words, we're being billed like crazy on this. There, and the only reason we found out was a whistleblower called Fox 46 and reported it to them, and they started digging around and asking questions. And only then, finally, after they called the hospital, then they called the Department of Health, and they would get the runaround, but they kept going after them everywhere that they went. And the thing is, okay, if this is happening once, that we've caught them because it was a whistleblower, how many other places? They are repressing the numbers of the breakthroughs on fully vaccinated people.
Well, and Renee, here's a follow-up question to what you're saying here. So the testing that they had done, the guy that developed the test that they were using for COVID-19, turns out that it's not reliable. And the more times they test you, what did you say, Steve, 40 cycles? It's going.
The labs have been doing it at 40 cycles.
Okay.
So it gives you about a 95.5% false positive.
There you go. So now they're claiming, and I want to know the answer to this, that people have already got the COVID shots, are getting the COVID-19. How are they testing for that new COVID-19?
But this is the
deal.
How
do you test for the Delta variant when you don't have a sample to identify it with?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I didn't hear you, Steve.
In order to classify and to identify a pathogen, you must have a sample of that pathogen.
Right.
I mean, they're pulling out new variants left and right.
Yeah.
So how do you identify it if you don't already have it?
And what test are you using? We got to go to break. Thank you, Renee. Appreciate your call.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Big John, Big John.
Every morning at the mine you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot six and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John, Big John.
Hello. Big Bad John. Rhonda in Missouri. Hello, Rhonda.
Yeah, hi, John. Hi, Steve.
Hello.
Hey, I sent you guys both the same email earlier today. Did you see it?
Actually, Rhonda, I have not been on my email, but I will be.
Okay.
After
and I was earlier in the day. A lot of people send me news stories or links to stuff, and I'm sorry, Rhonda. I didn't see your email.
Okay, that's fine.
I'll check it.
I had a question, and you guys kind of addressed it in the beginning of the show, which was, now that the vaccine has been approved, who's going to be liable for, that's my question. I don't know if you knew the answer. You kind of addressed it earlier.
Well,
but
what I've been able to gather here, the governments themselves are going to keep paying off people, but it's not going to go to court. It's not going to be adjudicated. It's not going to be a matter of public record. It is, and by the way, once you accept payment, there's that little clause in there that, by accepting this payment, you're made whole, and you can't talk about this.
Right. Yeah. Well, I didn't know. It seems to me like when they approve a drug, it automatically becomes a potential class action lawsuit where everybody gets $5 for their troubles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The other thing is I in that email I sent you guys, there's because I'm all about the ingredients and stuff, and I found the material safety data sheet. And interestingly enough, and this is going into your blood, when I saw one of the ingredients, I was like, wait a second, that sounds familiar. I don't know why.
What is it?
Well, it's because I watched some crime shows. It's when they put lethal injection for, you know, people who are sentenced to death.
Right.
It's potassium chloride.
Yeah.
Abnormal heartbeat and cardiac arrest.
Yeah.
So that is in the Pfizer shot, which they approved today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for John Moore. I tried to call into his show, but he's where I heard it. But when I went to the material safety data sheet, why would you put that into your body? You're committing suicide. I'm just saying. Something to consider.
It probably
people.
Has something to do with the sodium-potassium pump, most likely. I can't tell you offhand. I'm not a scientist, research scientist, but I assume they're thinking something with the sodium-potassium pump.
Yeah, well, possibly. Potassium chloride, and you guys should read that email because – it's interesting that, well, it's crazy how they approved it, because when you look at the research, and I think when the FDA gets involved, it's considered safe. Am I wrong?
Well, they've made lots of mistakes in the past, Renee.
Yeah.
Well, I know
lots
that.
Lots of mistakes. Remember thalidomide?
Rhonda.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, John.
Huge mistake.
No, I just, okay. Rhonda, thanks for your call. I'll look for that email, by the way.
All right, thank you.
Thank
all
you.
Right, bye.
Yeah,
hey, Renee.
People don't understand. I get 300 to 500 emails in my junk email, and I have moved people from my junk to my regular inbox, and it never takes. So what I end up doing is looking at the hundreds of emails I get on my regular Hotmail account, and then I've got to go in to the junk emails, which many of them aren't junk. But I've got to go through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emails every single day. So don't be surprised and don't feel left out that I didn't see your email.
He doesn't even see my email, so don't worry about it.
Okay, Captain Bob. On the good ship, Gator. JR in Georgia. Hello, JR.
Evening, John and Steve.
Yeah.
One subject matter I'd like to discuss real quick with you and see what your opinions are. In light of the events that are currently existing in Afghanistan right now, mm-hmm. and the fact that the military has a September 15th due date for this shot, I have a friend who has a relative who has a son in the Navy. And news that was passed on to me, and I do not know which ship he's assigned to, that between 20 and 30 personnel on that individual ship are not going to take the shot. And the question I have for you in your opinion is, it concerns me with the recruitment issues that the military already has existing as we speak today. What kind of effect is all these combination of issues going to have on further recruitment and also the readiness of our military?
Don't worry. JR, I'll answer that question without even hearing the rest of your question. We always have the United Nations and their peacekeeping troops.
Yeah.
This look, they're following this, and people don't believe that. And let me get out my original distributed handbook here. It's beautiful, UN blue, Freedom from War, United States Program for General Complete Disarmament in a Peaceful World. We were already, as individuals, supposed to be disarmed. The American people possess 47%. Of all firearms out there. They are in our hands. What it also calls for is the police, that they're only going to approve military and police operations that are underneath their guidance and their command. So what I'm saying to you here, JR, is they don't give a damn how many people they kill or run out of the military. We're going to have the United Nations and the coalition troops to come into this country.
John, hold JR over.
Yeah, JR, hang on. We'll be back.
Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
I see you, my friend, and touch your face again. Miracles will happen as we dream. But we're never gonna survive unless we get a little crazy.
All right, we're back. JR, are you still there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to get a little crazy here on you, maybe you might say. I'm going to put myself in the mind of the evil people behind this globalist genocide agenda here, kind of like what Don Campbell did with his book on Through the Eyes of Satan, Looking at the World. And that I'm going to say, this is just a theory I have of what I think may happen, that the military will not be given the jab. They will be given a placebo, very much the same as the Congress received a placebo. And to make that argument, which is a very solid argument, the odds of 535 members of Congress all taking the jab and not one adverse event, no reactions, no death, nothing happened. Placebo. They got a placebo. I think they're going to give the military, the first time around here, I think they're going to give them a placebo. Then they're going to use a little campaign, advertising campaign, say, look, the military has been vaccinated. They did fine. No adverse reactions, no death, nothing happened. Well, of course, nothing's going to happen with normal saline shot into you, nothing at all. They're going to use that as a campaign to sway the other people, the undersiders, the refuseniks, the vaccine refusers, whatever you want to call them, to say, look, the military just got it. They did fine. It's safe. Take it. Then, on down the line, the military will receive shot number one, actually shot number two, which will actually be shot number one for them because they got placebo the first time around. And then every shot after that will be the real shot. They'll catch up. But I think they're going to use the military. They're going to give them placebo, just like they gave the Congress. And they're going to use that as a marketing campaign to get people on board. Just a theory I have.
I can see that line of thought. But the issue that concerns me is the initial rollout of this shot and the percentage or numbers of individuals in the military that are absolute refusers. And what kind of detriment is this going to have to our military readiness because of all the experienced people we have on the front lines currently as we speak today? How many are going to walk before that September 15th?
That's a good question. I hope it's a good number.
Yeah.
And, of course, they've already – it's funny because I saw an article the other day that these soldiers that are now refusing will be counseled on the vaccine, counseled. That's not true. What they're going to do is they're going to be threatened on take it or you're going to get booted, and you'll have a dishonorable discharge to carry around with you the rest of your life. And you can't get into school because we'll make sure you can't get any student loans. You'll get no military benefits. We'll ruin your life unless you play the game.
Right.
That's where I see the military going. The draconian route is where they're going right now. We're already in stage four of the manipulation, the violent stage of telling people if you don't take it, you're going to lose your job. And, of course, we all need our economics. We have lives to live. It's pretty sad. This is a really, really evil government. I just would have never, under any president, it could have been under Trump. I mean, he kind of started it with the vaccine thing here. But we're in this fight for our life right now of we want to live. We want to get back to our lives. And they keep making promises to get back to your normal.
They have no intention of doing
that. Is do this and this, and it never happens anyway. So
they're upping the ante. We got to keep moving here. Thank you, JR. Appreciate your call.
Thanks, JR.
And again, stage three of the Freedom from War United States Program for General Complete Disarmament. They've already missed one goal here that was supposed to have already been done in stage three. And that's the banning of citizens owning weapons in this country. Stage three, by the time stage two has been completed, the confidence produced through the verified disarmament program, the acceptance of rules of peaceful international behavior, and the development of strengthened international peacekeeping processes within the framework of the UN should have reached a point where the states of the world can move forward to stage three. In stage three, progressive controlled disarmament and continuously developing principles and procedures of international law would proceed to a point where no state would have the military power to challenge the progressively strengthened UN peace force. In other words, no military could stand that could withstand them and fend them off. And all international disputes would be settled according to agreed principles of international conduct. The progressive steps to be taken during the final phase of the disarmament program would be directed toward the attainment of a world in which A, states would retain only those forces, non-nuclear armaments, and establishments required for the purpose of maintaining internal order. They would also support and provide agreed manpower for a UN peace force. B, the UN peace force, equipped with agreed types and quantities of armaments, would be fully functioning. C, the manufacture of armaments would be prohibited except for those of agreed types and quantities to be used by the UN Peace Force and those required to maintain internal order. All other armaments would be destroyed or converted to peaceful purposes. And finally, D, and pay attention closely to the last line here, the peacekeeping capabilities of the United Nations would be sufficiently strong and the obligation of all states under such arrangements sufficiently far-reaching as to assure peace and the just settlements of differences in a disarmed world. Look what's happening with Australia. Holy crap. And I want to get to this video, Stu Peters' video. I need to get this in here. So we're going to make this quick here. John in Michigan, go.
Yes, you are referring to the State Department 7277.
Correct.
That was developed by Prescott Bush. He was a Nazi collaborator. That was Bush's grandfather, Bush Jr.'s grandfather. And he did it, he had it arranged between Khrushchev and JFK. That's State Department 7277.
It is still a working thesis here. Yes.
Yeah, and only 100,000 military will be left to represent the United States.
So you see, folks, don't breathe a sigh of relief. They can kill off 2 million of our servicemen and still meet the requirements for the UN.
Yes, one more thing with Dr. Judy. She was an assistant to Fauci and was beginning to expose some of his fraud, and he had her put in prison. So this lady has some history and credibility and knows Fauci as who he is, the evil death god of the time we have right now.
And generally, thank you for your call, John. I appreciate it. It's a very important point. And, you know, usually we have committee of some sort. We don't have the end-all, be-all that we have ended up with Dr. Anthony Fauci. And by the way, just to slip this in here for your consideration, where's Bill Gates been? You know, with his little pleadings, with his hand gestures and all this stuff. He is up and disappeared. This man is scared, and he's crawled back under his rock. Andy in Texas. Go, Andy.
Oh, hey, thanks, John. I'll be really quick because I know you got stuff going on. But good grief. The way that they're setting this out, the way that they're putting this out, I mean, look at all these people that are stuck in a gulag in Washington, D.C. And, okay, now they got this Owen Schroyer from that place, whatever. But who is fighting for these people? This is where my disappointment is that nobody is up there fighting to get them out. These people did absolutely nothing wrong but just show up at a damn assembly.
Well, and
they happen to walk through some doors.
Yeah. Well, no, and I grant you that. That's why I had the story posted up today. And let me get around to it. Gosh. I'll get there. We have so many stories up here.
Hey, John, but on the temporary here, let me get out your hair.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. Insurrection claim grows weaker as conspiracy case falls apart. This is literally falling apart.
Yeah, but what do we do? How do we help these people?
I want to be right there. Andy,
yeah,
let me ask you this. I mean, pick your poison here, and literally, you know, what do we stop first? The killing and the maiming of somebody else's daughter or son or mother or father or whatever tomorrow. Where do we focus our efforts at? You know, is it the reconditioning of your children's minds through the critical race theory or the masking and shooting up and people are going after the various school boards? There's a lot of stuff happening. And Andy, I appreciate what you're saying here, but their narrative is falling apart. These people haven't been forgotten about, and they certainly haven't been abandoned by me. But I'm not a lawyer. I'm not going to walk in there, and I can't represent any of these people. The only thing I can do is help share the stories as to why they're unlawfully being locked up. We can only do so much.
That's why I like.
Yeah.
That's why I like RBN. Hey, our plates are full. Our plate is full right now. There's a whole bunch of different fronts that we have. We eat your meat first and then go for the potatoes. Anyway, you guys have a good night.
Thank you. Sir. Thank you, Andy. And let me take one more here quickly. Mark in Philly. Go ahead, Mark.
Yes, real briefly. I'm calling as a fellow veteran, you two, you and Steve. Myself and other veterans that are out there, we have active. My understanding is what you said on one of your shows is that 40% of the active duty are not willing to take the vaccine. Is that correct?
I have said that 40 to 43% in total have been vaccinated, military, non-military, Joe Blow from Kokomo.
I didn't know because I thought I'd heard that some of the. So we don't know where the active duty stand, but if enough active duty were to stand up together like a phalanx, like in the, you know, just like in the movie 300, the Spartans, the hot gates, because we are in the hot gates. Because if the military capitulates, and specifically I'm going to talk about the Marines, because the Marines seem to me to have
you got to talk about them briefly, because I'm scrunched for time. I want to get this last Stu Peters presentation in here, but go ahead.
Yeah, so here's the deal. So if the military can, they should stand up collectively and just say no. And we've had enough of the line in the sand keep being moved incrementally, and now it's in our faces.
Right.
If the military were to stand up and not capitulate and not give in and hold the line, because they have to know what you just said about, you know, the United Nations coming over here. Virginia's governor just put forth something about that, right? So, I mean, that's an invasion. Surely the Marines know that we are being invaded. We've already been invaded, and we're getting ready to be invaded big time. They want to take us down.
This is why 30 years ago the Michael New story was so important. I recognized it 3 decades ago. And Michael New was to be sent over to Macedonia. He was to be under UN command, and he said, I didn't join the military to be placed into a foreign command. I'm not following your orders. And his father continued for many years afterwards. I recognize that story for being important, and they tried to do this 30 years ago. I thank you for your call, Mark.
Okay, sure.
All right. Here's the Stu Peters presentation, and we're not going to be able to play the entire thing, but we're going to get enough in here that'll wake you up as to what's going on down under.
The same thing is going on with this health minister in Australia.
Oh, wait till you get a load of this.
Sitting next to a doctor, I'm going to show you for just a few minutes exactly what it is that the people of Australia are dealing with. Look at this tyrant.
Well, I'd like to welcome everybody to this virtual hearing of the Public Accountability Committee as part of its inquiry into the New South Wales government's management of the COVID-19 pandemic. Today, we'll be hearing from government witnesses, including the Honourable Brad Hazzard, the Minister for Health and Medical Research, and Dr. Kerry Chant, the Chief Health Officer. Members and witnesses must avoid speaking over each other so we can all be heard clearly.
This is getting a bit ridiculous. You're holding us up here while we should be doing the work that we need to do while you tell us...
Minister, I would ask that you... it is a WebEx hearing. It's very difficult. We have very limited time.
David, can I just say, Dr. Chant is very tired. She works 18 hours a day. I mean, last night she rang me, I think, or I rang her at about 10 o'clock or 11
she
o'clock.
She just said
last
she
night.
Was
we
fine.
Through the night.
But she's not going to be allowed
first
to
thing
talk.
In the morning. You have an expectation.
No, I appreciate it. I'm just trying to work out what.
Excuse me, Dr. Chant. It reminds you that we have volunteered to come here. We don't acknowledge that you have the capacity to have us here. We've come here to try and assist. I'm going to give you the information you need. So,
thank you, Minister. I think the context is useful.
The first speaker said this wasn't in Minister, some sort of gotcha
Minister,
moment.
Minister,
all you're trying to do is carry
Minister,
on like... David, we are in the middle of a pandemic. We agreed to come for 1 hour, and you're just asking questions which are just aimed at just having a go. Can you actually bring this? You're the chairperson, and you should stick with what you agreed so Dr. Chant can get on with her work and stop carrying on like you're running for the Senate, for heaven's sakes. We know you're running for the Senate.
Minister,
can we actually get on with what the arrangement was? The arrangement was we came voluntarily for 1 hour, and you're wasting her time.
Minister, I think that the committee has endeavoured to ensure this is an even tempered exchange of information.
Well, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? It just seems to me that...
Minister, we're not trying to catch you out. There's no trick here. We're specifically asking very important advice from the public health officials and from Dr. Chant.
I'd rather spend more time than it would have taken me to explain it, Penny. I'll go back to what I was saying on the 25th of June.
Minister, I have questions for Dr. Chant that I'd like to get through. And I would really like it if you would allow her to answer those, please.
Well, now, I'm going to tell you what's going to transpire here. This health minister is up there filibustering. The doctor already indicated, you know, I'm fine. I'm good to go. They're there for an hour. They agreed to this. But watch what they do.
I'll answer that. You might
and the question
that
was put to Dr. Chant, and if you would allow Dr. Chant
to answer. I will answer the question that I'm now talking about, thank you. I mean, not up to you to determine who's going to answer the questions. I'm the minister, and I'll answer it.
Minister, the context is useful. The question was directed to Dr. Chant.
Well, if you can't...
I appreciate the context, but I also know... I also note the short amount of time we have today. So I appreciate the context, and I'd now invite Dr. Chant to answer the question.
As a colleague who is normally very careful in your words, can I say that you're putting words into Dr. Chant's mouth, and that's not at all fair.
Minister, our time's about to expire. Can I just ask one final question?
I'm sorry. Either I get to finish the answers or I'm not going to bother. Seriously. I just want to ask one question before our time expires. I'm sorry. If you haven't been listening, that is not our issue.
I'd just like to ask one question to Dr. Chand before our time expires.
Why don't you finish the answer to my question?
And
your question is out of order and wrong.
So could I perhaps clarify?
And a waste of time.
Minister, I'm just going to ask one question to Dr. Chand.
Well, I'm telling you, we take the advice.
No, Minister, you cut me off midway through what I was asking. And
sorry, if I did that. Yeah, off you go.
So I
don't know what the issue is here. It's just, if it's a beat up on the government, well, okay, we're here, but beat it up somewhere else, will you? Because Dr. Chant's really busy and I'm really busy. If you want to actually discuss the issues properly, we're here to do it. We came voluntarily. We didn't have to be here. Please just ask the questions. We'll give you the answers. Context, and you need the context. Because clearly you don't understand it.
Yes, and Minister, if I could just stop you there, we are very well acquainted.
But you're asking the question and I have to be able to answer. On the 23rd of June...
Minister, could I invite you, please? If you insist upon continuing to answer, could you please complete your answer within 30 seconds and then we will go to Dr. Chant? I do know that other members...
I think that was just a political statement by you, Mr. Shoebridge, so thank you for that
Minister,
political statement.
Minister, I do know that other members
have... exactly what you've been doing. And that's the end of today's hearing. Thank you very much.
Well, Minister...
Well, that's disappointing, Minister.
Well, we are very lucky to have this platform, I will tell you, because the media will not tell you anything, nothing. The truth does not exist in the criminally corrupted, complicit media that wants to lead you to this new euphorian, dystopian lockdown society that I refer to as the New World Order. The prototype is happening in Australia. We are watching as this place is completely locked down, obviously in the wake of guns being removed from the possession of law-abiding citizens of that country down under. Here, we would fall, it is my opinion, almost immediately if guns were withdrawn, which is why there's this incessant push for gun control, the removal of guns from law-abiding citizens. About 450 million guns, over 48% of the world's guns are here in the United States, presumably in the hands of patriots that would more than likely use them if this tyrannical grip were to lock down on your family, your children. They're scared. They're scared of you. In Australia, tyranny is just running out of control. And while the media won't bring it to you, we will go directly to the source. Joining us now is Alan Hennessy, a 45-year veteran of the Royal Australian Air Force. I have been corresponding with Mr. Hennessy. Thank you for being here, sir. We really appreciate it. I've been corresponding via email, via phone, getting some really horrific images out of Australia. We can now confirm that three of the children that were led into this sports arena turned into a mass child inoculation or euthanasia center have succumbed to the jab. They are dead. Two boys, one girl, being reported by you, by Alan Hennessy there in Australia. Catch us up to speed here and give us the real reality. What is really happening in Australia? Because Australia is warning, this is going to happen to you next. America, beware. What's going on?
Correct. Thanks for having me on, Stu. It's number one, as everyone knows, it's not in the mainstream media. If you're watching the mainstream media, you won't hear any of this. It's as if Australia is a test case. We know Melbourne was one of the safe cities, a long list of safe cities, including many in the United States that were a test case. But there's stuff evolving consistently. There's things going to be happening in the next 24 hours. We've got possibly some news coming out of Melbourne now that happened a few hours ago, but I'm going to flick away from looking at you for a moment as I look up some details. There's some really important stuff which is going on in Queensland with the border. Just to put people in the picture, Australia and the United States are about the same size. Australia is slightly smaller. we've got six states, two territories, and the main mainland ones on the east coast from north to south are Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria. We have a liberal federal government. Now, it's not liberal in the same terms as you have in the United States. Liberal here is centre-right conservative. They're in power. Scott Morrison is the prime minister. The opposition is the left-wing Labor Party, and then there's the Greens and some other independents and some minor parties as well. The states have either Labor or Liberal, and remember that's left-wing and centre-right governments. Queensland is Labor, left-wing. New South Wales is Liberal, centre-right. Victoria is far-left. Daniel Andrews made secret deals with the Chinese Communist Party, long story. The problem we have now is a lot of these emergencies are based upon a virus which is allegedly caused by SARS-CoV-2, which to this day has never been identified, isolated, purified.
Right.
There's no evidence of it anywhere. Freedom of information cases all over the world said, we don't have the documents, doesn't exist. CDC has admitted it. The documents do not exist. So this whole thing is predicated on basically it is a fraud. Now in Queensland and North and the border between Queensland and New South Wales is rather convoluted because of the terrain.
All right. We're running out of time here, and he goes into the geographics and the politics and all that other stuff. Steve, they're not going to stop.
No, they're not.
They're going to keep doing this, and we have got to be thinking of ways of countering these people without resisting this to the point that we're not inviting the guys with the guns that are going to have, well, the permission to do whatever they can to bring order and to make sure these vaccines are distributed in a safe manner. And it's all about safety when in actuality it's their quote-unquote vaccines that are killing people. We're going to have to come up with something to combat this and stop this cold dead in its tracks.
Let me plant a seed there. You're a movie buff, so you'll understand this. Maybe the listening audience will also. But the establishment of FEMA camps, internment camps for vaccine refusers, they've been talking about that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that. Those are established, all ready to go. And then you might have NATO peacekeepers coming on U.S. soil to enforce where law enforcement or military will not be able to because they're either out of commission. So what you got situation is we might be living the movie plot of Red Dawn, which means we're going to be clinging to those Second Amendment big time to defend ourselves.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, Steve. Thank you all for being here today. Back tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. And folks, do not forget us. Keep us in your prayers. But God hasn't issued us any checks. He's leaving that up to you to supply the funds that we can keep operating. If you don't think we're doing God's work here, well then, we shouldn't be operating. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease Off, LLC. 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.